Government is not our master, it is our servant. Its only power, that which we the people allow it to have.
Liberty Watch is an independent program on KVOI dedicated to the notion that government remains servant, not master, and operating in the public interest for which the media in this country was designed, by exploring controversy. This helps us to resolve our differences peaceably, refining controversy into clarity through investigation, research, interview of experts, and public feedback. Liberty Watch is based in objective reason and is biased towards individual liberty, and so is not the view of the station or anyone but the host, guests, and callers. Liberty Watch operates outside the realm of political correctness, taking no notice at all of race, creed, religion, ethnicity, political affiliation, or orientation, focusing on content of character in eternal vigilance to the free flow of information about government, technology, current events, and our steadfast Constitution. The program is paid, produced, hosted, and operated by Charles Heller, and any mistakes are solely his responsibility. Our responsibility. We, the citizens, are responsible for what our government does. And if we don't pay attention to what that is, shame on us. It's not shame on them. And it is shame on us for not using the tools that are available to us in government, in law, and in the Constitution to adjust government to fit our needs. And it's not the fault of the city of Tucson that a lot of things don't get done. It's the fault of the citizens for failing to hold the government accountable. And when a large majority of the populace here, the voting populace, fails to hold the government to account, what happens is the government keeps engaging in malfeasance. You see that all up and down Tucson and Pima County. And nationally, what happened was enough people got aggravated at the way the country was being run that they made a change. And you saw that both in the House and the Senate and in the presidency. People were tired of what was the way things were being done. They finally rose up at least enough to the point of where it made a change. And if we failed to do that as citizens, then the problem isn't our malfeasant government. The problem is us, folks. Because as Lincoln said, I guess I should say the tyrant Lincoln said, is government of, by, and for the people. And if you don't govern the governors, then they will govern you. It is to some extent a zero-sum game. Power is a zero-sum game. And zero-sum means that the amount is fixed and that the more one has, the less another has. In most cases, capitalist economies are not a fixed game. They're not a zero-sum game. You get more by creating. But when it comes to power and government, that is a zero-sum game. And as Dennis Prager says, the greater the government, the lesser the citizen. Or the larger the government, the smaller the citizen. That's what Prager actually says. To that end, let's keep an eye on what's going on with our government, at least in terms of the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve recently, and this is from the 19th, so let's see, it is today. This article is from... Excuse me, I read that. That's from December 18th, and Federal Reserve withdraws from Global Climate Group as Trump set to assume the presidency. And the U.S. Federal Reserve is exiting a global climate change coalition days before the new administration is set to take office on January 20th. The Federal Reserve has joined the network of central banks and supervisors for greening the financial system, NGFS, which is the network of Federal Reserve Network of Central Banks and Supervisors for Greening the Financial System. In December 2020, NGFS, composed of global central banks and supervisors, aims to integrate climate and environmental risk management into financial sector and mobilize finance to support the transition towards a sustainable economy. Emphasis mine. According to the group's website, on Friday, the Federal Reserve announced its withdrawal from the 143-member coalition. Yay! quote, the work of NGFS, which is the association, the International Association of Financial Managers, has increasingly broadened in scope, covering a wider range of issues that are outside the bounds of our statutory mandate, an agency spokesman said. Five Federal Reserve officials, including the chair, Jerome Powell, voted for the withdrawal, while two officials did not vote. They abstained. Representative Andy Barr of Kentucky welcomed the Federal Reserve decision, calling it a step in the right direction, according to a January 18 position on social media platform X. By pulling out of the NGFS, the Fed sets itself up to reprioritize the needs of American citizens and the U.S. financial system instead of the wants of unchecked foreign bureaucrats, he said. Look, folks, you don't have to get into conspiracy theories. You can look at the published word. Look at the book recently that Klaus Schwab from the forum, the international forum. Klaus Schwab is the forum in Switzerland. Forget the name of it. The World Economic Forum. That's it. And Schwab wrote a book called The Great Reset, in which basically talks about moving towards one world standards. And the United States is a world leader. The United States is a world leader in freedom and a lot of other, especially in free speech, and certainly in right to keep and bear arms. As a result, I need to take a pause here. As a result, we need to still continue leading the world in issues of freedom. One of the things, when you are the major financial, when your currency is the reserve currency of the world, that's one reason why several, the BRICS nations, are trying to supplant the U.S. currency so that the U.S. will have less of a leadership position in the world. Well, when you are the world leader, you got to do things that actually lead. And you got to do things that aren't sort of along the way of collectivism. What you got to do is lead by inspiring people to act in ways that harness the human creative spirit. And that's how capitalism works. I don't maybe like the term capitalism. That's how free market energy is generated that way. And what happens is sometimes people take advantage of that and use legislative power, use legislative authority, use corruption, crony capitalism, to try and corrupt that to their own way of doing things. But if we keep the country free and we continue to lead by doing things like pulling out of the NGFS, it makes America, it's what makes keeps America the shining city on the hill. Back to the article. Quote, the incoming administration's efforts to deny and exacerbate the climate crisis should be reason for the Fed to assert its independence by addressing climate risks. But instead, it's doing the opposite, Mr. Cushing said. Well, of course it's doing the opposite, because the people who are pushing a so-called climate crisis are selling pornography. It's called panic porn. To the phones. Caller, your first name, please. Nope. Caller's name is boop, hung up. Caller, call back. I'm glad to hear you, especially if you have a view opposing me. I think it's wonderful. And I think that this program is designed so that andiatur et alterna pars, let the other side be heard. It's why I let people like that nutcase Palestinian advocate I had on a few weeks ago. Some people got mad at me for doing that, but I did that to let the person expose their own. And when I say nutcase, I mean nutcase point of view, not any personal insult at the person, but somebody who holds a view that just isn't supported by reality. Anyway, the reason I let people like that on this program is I want you to hear what other people think, number one, and number two is if they have an inane point of view, I want that exposed. Right, back to the article. Repeatedly, President-elect Donald Trump Relatedly, President Donald Trump is expected to pull the United States from the Paris Climate Accords, which it also did in 2019. Good. He has called the deal a total disaster for the American economy and too lenient towards the Chinese communist regime. After Mr. Biden assumed office in 2021, the United States rejoined the Paris Accords. Hopefully, Mr. Trump will get us out of there in a hurry, and it's a bad deal for the United States. And there are international accords, certainly, that could be, that can be made, like the what accords in Israel? The Abraham Accords. And things like that, there are good deals to be made, but certainly there are bad deals to be gotten out of, and the Paris Climate Accord is one of them. And people who sell this idea of climate crisis are pushing panic porn on the United States, and shame on them. In the Wilkinson Wealth Management Studios. Swap Shop trains are coming, rolling down that free market track. Sunday mornings, you can buy, sell, or trade anything lawful and moral on the Swap Shop. Let's listen.
Never give up on the power of the Swap Shop.
Who knows? And I mean, somebody could have had a whole bunch of old pagers laying around, and they called the Swap Shop and said, "Can we buy them? We got an order for some pagers. We just need to work on them a little bit first."
Swap Shop, Sundays 10 to 11 a.m., right before Liberty Watch.
Hi, it's Mark Levin. Liberty Watch on KVOI is dedicated to the notion that government remains servant, not master. Sounds like Charles has been reading my books. Congratulations on 20 years on KVOI, Charles.
And that is called The Fishing Hole by Earl Campbell, obviously the theme to the Andy Griffith Show. And I thought that maybe we could talk about things that were simpler and a time that was simpler, much simpler, when the sheriff only grabbed a gun when he thought he needed one. Obviously, we don't have that anymore. And this isn't a rural thing, and I don't know that it ever was a thing. I'm sure there might have been sheriffs like that. If you look at Walking Tall, there was a sheriff that didn't carry a gun until after he was shot. And then he did, Buford Pusser. But I remember in 1974 when he was killed, and or when he died. I'm not sure if he was killed. I think he was murdered. I think that was they altered the brakes in his Corvette. I think he had an accident because he couldn't stop. But in any case, I remember when that happened because I was working at the Chicago Tribune, and we had teletypes back then, which were giant fax machines. Actually, no, they weren't quite fax machines. There were fax machines, but the teletypes were different. And the teletypes had an alert bell. And when it was a really important story, they would ding a certain number of times. And two or three dings, you would go kind of casually and walk over to the teletype machine and look at it. And they had these lead slugs that came from the linotype machine. And we would take a lead slug and lay it across the top of the teletype machine and use it to tear the story and put it on a roll and run it out to the city desk. And you'd hear ding ding and you'd mosey over to it. You'd hear ding 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 and you'd kind of walk over there and take a look at it. You heard ding 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 and you went over to right away to look what the story was. And I remember this thing dinged 7 times and the lead in the story was Buford Pusser is dead. That was the sheriff from Walking Tall from the movie and played by Don Meredith in the movie. I believe. Anyway, it was a big story at the time. But back to this article, the Fed and the climate. Speaking to a House committee in 2023, Chairman Jerome Powell said that the central bank was not framing policies on climate matters. Quote, We are not looking to move into an area where we're actually becoming a climate policymaker, he said. Over time, that border needs to be very carefully guarded. And that's what we call mission creep, when an organization begins to do more than it was chartered to do. That's part of the problem we have. We have sickle cell government growth, and it's led to a metastasis of government, which hopefully will be pared back in the current administration. Not because of politics, but because of, not about left and right, but about right and wrong. And we need to have, we were designed to be a country that was free. And you should be able to do anything you want to do, provided it doesn't harm another person or damage their property. And to the extent that we're not free to do that, to that extent today, we are falling into what John Jay said that was the propensity for government to folly in the Federalist Papers, I think in Federalist 10. I could be corrected on which one it was in. Back to the article. The same year, a group of Senate Republicans sent a letter to Jerome Powell criticizing the incorporation of environmental, social, and governance, ESG, ideologies into banking risk analysis referred to as a climate stress test. Quote, "This is policy masquerading as risk analysis," the lawmaker said. "The Fed is actively signaling that bank activities that do not further the goals of net zero," in other words, no carbon emissions, "by 2050 are inherently risk disfavored. This drives capital away from traditional energy development at a critical time for our economic and national security, while empowering America's adversaries. This climate stress level, stress test is the logical result of a persistent and growing track record of climate activism at the federal government," the lawmakers wrote. The Fed's focus on climate has come under criticism from Stephen Miron, who has been nominated to chair the Council of Economic Advisers in the Trump administration. In a paper co-authored last year, Miron said that the Federal Reserve was pushing climate-related principles into the framework of bank regulations. And this is dangerous. When you use one, this is not in the article, this is me, when you use one portion of government authority to bend or to shape people's behavior in a way it wasn't designed to, that is both mission creep and it's government exceeding its authority using the color of law, in other words, the fact that we are the government, using the color of law instead of actual law. When you bend laws to do things they weren't designed to do, you take a turn towards tyranny. And it's a really bad idea. And for whether it's, no matter what the policies are, government needs to be kept in its box. We need to do that in peaceful and lawful means through economic stricture around government so that it doesn't grow. One of the things we really need to do is lessen by a great number, probably at least 20%, but maybe a greater number than that, the number of people who work in government. That's both federal and local. Now, the only exceptions to that would be in public safety, such as law enforcement and, of course, recently, as we saw, in firefighting. The whole idea of the COVID mandates, mandating people to take a COVID shot or separating them from their employment, was a terrible idea. Yeah, I get it. Some people meant well, but other people used it as a mechanism to control the behavior of others. It was an excess of government. It was government exceeding its mandate. By the way, if anyone wants to make a comment in the next 5 minutes, 520-790-2040 in the Wilkinson Wealth Management Studios. Back to the article. "The Fed's increasing attention to climate issues has accomplished worse performance on its traditional bank regulatory responsibilities," unquote, from the letter from Congress. The Fed's Financial Stability Oversight Council called climate change a top priority prior to the failure of the Silicon Valley Bank in 2023, the authors wrote. This was the second biggest bank failure in American history at that time. Quote, "Had the Fed been paying attention to the banking system's interest rate risk instead of climate risk, the system might have been spared significant volatility," the paper said. That article was from Naveen Arapoli, and he is with the Epoch Times. And I would certainly invite your comment on that at 520-790-2040. Next is a call to action, reforming the National Security Council. Joshua Steinman, the former senior director for cyber on President Trump's National Security Council, has issued a stark warning. Let's see. To the phones and Liberty Watch. Your first name, please.
Hi, Charles. It's Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Hi. I think this is something that is going to be a reoccurring theme for probably the foreseeable future when it comes to politics, the whether it's ESG, DEI, Green New Deal, all of the other stuff. It goes back to the core of one of the things you and I have had conversations on for many years. It's what are the basics that are supposed to be done by government, as opposed to the what is the need to do versus the nice to do. And there are so many people in politics that have gotten everything backwards. Whether they've willfully done it or it's just, it's politically expedient to forget that the need to do stuff is the stuff you've got to do first. Los Angeles and California right now are in the dead middle of the target of everything that government should be doing. It is crystal clear to even some of the most avid Kool-Aid drinkers that the folks in charge just do not understand what their job is.
Well, they can't drink the Kool-Aid now that the reservoir is dry.
Exactly. And whether it's the Fed, I think there, to be blunt, I think there's a lot of folks at the Fed that simply read the writing on the wall and decided to start covering their collective backsides.
Yeah, their assets.
Before the new administration comes in. But I think the bigger issue is, and you see it across the world, there's this almost visceral response to things that governments are doing, whether they're quote unquote representative or totalitarian or some shade in between. There's just this sense that the government is just not understanding that there's certain things you got to do before you go talk about the rest of the stuff. And to be blunt, I think it's going to be a recurring theme simply because there are folks all across the political spectrum that have really fundamentally misunderstood and misread where the average person is in their daily lives. And if you're not satisfying that, I don't care what political party you belong to, you're going to be shown the door, and sometimes it's going to be very painful for you.
And furthermore, I think there's an underlying tenet to this, and that is that they do not understand that government, that all power is inherent in the people, as it says in Arizona's constitution. If a person in government doesn't understand that power is inherent in the people, and that the purpose of government is to protect the rights of the liberties of the citizens, they are never going to act in ways that comport with the stated purpose of government. Bill, I do have to let you go. We are coming up on the bottom of the hour, and I got a guest booked. You have a great day. And that opens the line for you. No, it doesn't. It clears the deck for the guest in the Wilkinson Wealth Management Studios.
Thank you for listening to Liberty Watch.
Swap Shop trains are coming, rolling down that free market track.
Sunday mornings, you can buy, sell, or trade anything lawful and moral on the Swap Shop. Let's listen.
I wanted to give a big shout out to Arizona Tree. I noticed a saguaro, and it was going to fall right on my well. The biggest arm blew off, and it lost its balance.
Well, so we do support the right of cactus to keep and bear arms.
Swap Shop, Sundays 10 to 11 a.m., right before Liberty Watch.
Hi, it's Dennis Prager. Liberty Watch is dedicated to the notion that government remain servant, not master. Goes very well with my concept of E Pluribus Unum, liberty, and in God we trust. Congratulations on 20 years on KVOI, Charles.
Engine 10, truck 10, engine 210, squad 10, factory fire, 225 East Crocker, Cross Street, 5th, timeout, 0110.
And Dr. Amy Lepore is a specialist in emergency management. She's probably a little young to remember that theme music, but she is holds a PhD in urban affairs and public policy from University of Delaware with an emphasis on local emergency management. And now she's weighing in on how she believes diversity, equity, and inclusion standards have helped create the wildfires in Southern California. And we'll delve into that. Dr. Lepore, how do you prefer to be addressed?
No, I prefer Amy Charles. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, Amy Charles. I can stay serious, but only for short periods of time.
I see that.
Yeah, and you know what? How much extra does it cost to be nice? Anyway, we are the product of both nature and nurture, which I lovingly call our freight damage. So how did the emergency bug bite you? Is your dad a firefighter, or maybe he was in the military, or what happened?
My dad was in the military.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you're onto something there. My dad was in the military, and more than anything, I think, you know, growing up, my parents did a really good job of instilling in me, you know, the concept that you should serve the community around you.
Uh-huh.
And I think, and so for me, though, was I had an interest in politics. I had an interest in policy. There was not really a point in time where I said, I want to go into emergency management. I see myself running calls and directing kind of operations during storms. I really just fell into it, and it has been an incredibly rewarding career. You know, I still get to work with those people in the kind of more in the private sector area now, but it was an incredibly rewarding career.
Mm-hmm. I have a personal curiosity. Do you carry or at least own and keep handy a multi-tool? Like a Leatherman.
Own and keep handy. I do not carry one on me. No.
But you do own and carry a Leatherman type tool?
But there are several in my home, and I think one in each vehicle.
Oh. Oh, I got sent the right guest. Okay. I geek out over leather. I do whole shows on multi-tools and knives and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I could totally go down that rabbit hole. What?
That would be a conversation to have with my husband.
Yeah.
Sure.
I knew that was going to be the next thing out of your mouth. Yeah. How important is the ability to think somewhat three-dimensionally to emergency management?
So being able to, this is kind of an analogy here, stand on a balcony and look down
at
a pending situation and to think about the risks associated with something like a storm,
mm-hmm.
for example, wildfires, for another example, is critical to managing emergency, to preparing a community, to making good, sound decisions for the people that you serve, the citizens, and then in whatever jurisdiction you're in. Absolutely critical.
I teach self-defense, specializing in teaching women, and I teach situational awareness, and I talk about trifocality, being able to see what's going on immediately in front of you, but also being able to see what's going on in the medium distance, and then in the great distance, knowing what the laws are and what you can and can't do. I try and teach that. How do you learn from your point of view or from your professional experience, how do you learn how to gain that multidimensional thinking in what you do?
Boy, I think, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, Charles. I do think that there are people who are born with it. You talked a little bit about nature versus nurture, right?
Right.
I do think there are people who are born with that kind of foresight and critical thinking. And I think there are other people who can learn it on the job. Learning it on the job entails having, you know, excellent mentors in emergency services, people whose careers have been exemplary, who have been there, done that in terms of the scale and scope of disaster or emergency they have served during, and people who will explain historical patterns and trends. But more than anything, I think that you can gain great foresight when you know your community, when you know what to anticipate. You know, where I was in emergency management, and served as the deputy chief of emergency services for a county here in Maryland. I knew my community. I am from here. And it did not take long to start to see the patterns. We knew who would shelter, right, if there was an evacuation. We knew what communities wouldn't want to shelter, right, in a kind of public-sponsored shelter. Mm-hmm. We knew we had institutional knowledge. And so in terms of being able to learn that kind of three-dimensional thinking that you're talking about, mm-hmm. I think there's people who are excel at it. I do think you can learn it along the line. But I think the most important thing is to know your community, to have that institutional knowledge. And then you can begin to kind of predict behavior.
Excellent. That's kind of one of the things we teach in self-defense is knowing what precursors to a violent act may occur and then being observant of those things. Yeah. And it's the same thing with a mudslide. I mean, you know which hills are unstable. So you said, quote, in May of 2023, the Los Angeles County Fire Department adopted different written exams to lower the standards necessary for women and minorities to become firefighters and paramedics. What do they have to show for what do they have to show for it today? Dr. LaPorte?
Yeah,
Amy?
One of the most interesting things is that we get to watch this unfold in real time. The new standards that were decided on by the LA County Board of Supervisors, in spring of 2023, there has not been a first report yet. They have asked for by gender and by race reports of how people are doing on their new tests, how people are doing in their mentorship programs and, reasons people leave the job, reasons people exit the interview process. All of these metrics are a piece of what the Board of Supervisors has said are required, but that first report has not come out yet. So we're going to know a lot about it when we can see that data. But I can tell you that I think it is in terms of predictions, like we were talking about, I think we can predict that we are not going to see an increase in capability associated with making different and equity-based tests the norm.
Can I lovingly say that I think they're looking at the wrong metric? I mean, not being an expert in emergency management, I would suggest that the thing you ought to look at is the comparative numbers of burnt houses and burnt people.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a jump I'm not prepared to make, right? Because we have not seen what the new standards have borne in terms of capability, but I think when we take a look at what has happened, we can tell there is government incompetence somewhere.
Right.
We know that's at the state level with the governor. We can see it at the city level with certainly Mayor Bass. And I think we are certain of it in LA County that the leadership has been unprepared. That, anytime you take the eye off the ball of performance and capability and you start to solve for, social problems in terms of and as a trade-off for excellent performance, you're not going to see an increase in capabilities. You're not going to see an improvement in morale. And, in fact, it's going to drive difference in your teams, right? When people start side-eyeing each other, like, how did you get here? Knowing that, when I came in, when I tested, if I am, a person who has been with the county fire department for mm-hmm. 10 years, but now you are here and you had your hand held through a mentorship program, the physical and written tests were made different for you. And, now the Board of Supervisors has been honest. They are based in equity research. And we can talk a little bit about what that means, too. But there is not a question now that it will drive a division in the ranks. And that's going to be unhealthy. And so if we place kind of division and poor morale next to diminishing performance, Charles, I don't have to tell you, that's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. Well, pardon my prejudice, but often people with PhD after their name have slipped the surly bonds of reason. How do we go about reattaching them to reality, understanding that the welding torch is off limits?
So how do we get back to a focus on performance and capability? Is that your
That's the PhD way of asking the question. Yes.
Yeah.
Which I didn't do.
You got me there. So the way that's going to happen in LA County, and it's going to be slow, I think, because I'm not convinced they're going to get it right away, is the same way that we're going to see that change at FEMA. Given their debacles in Appalachia and Florida and their judgment to not serve Trump supporters, for example, we have to have these devastating stories, not just someone's property was lost, but that there's death and disaster victims who are sleeping in tents and people who need disaster assistance and cannot be served, or homes that were damaged in the wildfires that may have otherwise been serviceable, right, if there was confidence mm-hmm. in government. Anytime we are reducing that competence, right? We are kind of showing what government's priorities are. So the way that we tether people back to reality is that they're going to have to see this failure, and they're going to have to lose something. We know that people like Mayor Bass, the only loss they ever feel, right, is the loss of their power. They don't care about you
or money.
They don't care about me. They're never going to suffer from money. Right? They're not going to be like,
no, but if their budgets are cut, if their budgets are cut, that'll stop them from being able to do what they, some of what they want to do.
You got it. So personally, I don't think they care a whole lot about their own pocketbook once they reach that level, but they absolutely care about the inability to further build their bureaucracies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is where, you know, it has to be bad and it has to be big. And it's such a shame that people will have died as a result of their failed performance and failed policies. And I think that that is the way we tether them back to reality. But it won't be people like Mayor Bass making good decisions. She'll go down with the ship, right? And whether or not the people of California will be compelled to make a different decision about their governance remains to be seen. But I think, unfortunately, it has to be big and bad and ugly, kind of like the last 4 years have been.
Kind of like when Arnold got to be governor. You know, it was through a recall.
Yes.
It was through a recall when you got the governator. All right, stand by for just a little bit, and we'll be right back on the other side of this break. And I got a novel idea. How about we just hire Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts? On my honor, I will do my duty to God and my country to help other people at all times, to obey the Scout law, and to help keep myself physically fit, morally straight, and mentally awake.
This is Dennis Weaver, and you're listening to Liberty Watch. You know, the exchange of ideas is so important to maintain our freedom in this country. And Liberty Watch is a show that promotes freedom.
Probably not that easy to discern, but that was the music, a little bit of Hans Zimmer from Backdraft. I don't know if that was a movie you saw or not. I guess it's been a while ago, but the guest is Dr. Amy Lepore. She's very much a specialist in emergency management. She's got degrees in various parts of emergency management, public service up to and including a PhD from University of Delaware, and also has worked in that area for many years now in the private sector. What do you do in the private sector right now that has to do with emergency management?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, Charles. So I work alongside jurisdictions that are building out their public safety radio systems, so those handheld radios that cops and firefighters use, and I'm sort of kind of as an IT project manager for them, kind of keeping the large vendors in check, if you will.
Tucson had one of the early adopters of it, and we had that radio that came through federal funding where if you need to, the firefighter or the police officer on the ground can talk to the reportee in the house, or if necessary, can be patched through to the Pentagon.
The technology has changed very fast, especially in, given the investment after 9/11, and it's really remarkable what can be done now.
Yeah. I was part of a project for 15 years on Christmas and Thanksgiving to feed dinners to the people at the 911 center. So I've actually sat at the kiosk and taken over, after 5 years, they let me actually take a 911 call. And for all the years I've been in broadcasting and sitting in front of a microphone, I froze.
Those people who serve in the centers go unrecognized.
Yep.
That is not an easy job.
Nope. You know, yours may be the last voice that someone hears. And that is a very big responsibility. And after they take a death call, they've got a protocol on what they do with people, and they actually walk the parking lot and do various things to let it off. They've got a decompression room where people can just sit and be alone for a while. It's a process. It's really a big job, and people don't realize how big it is.
And my husband is newly a chaplain and studying to be a pastor, and he is with emergency services still and serves as a chaplain kind of during those times after those tough calls. It's really remarkable, and it's a service that needs to be offered.
Yep. For places, switching back to the LA area topic, for places near large bodies of water, is there a possibility of running an emergency piping system? I know Los Angeles has some of that, but is it possible to do, like, there's some places that have huge lakes not far, like the Great Salt Lake, for instance, that have huge bodies of water. Is it possible to run piping systems so that large amounts of water are more or less instantaneously available?
You know, I think they're going to have to look for whether or not these are solutions that can be completed. I mean, anything is possible, right, with some distance and time in the future. I'm not an expert on this, Charles, but what I can tell you is that they're going to have to consider some of these solutions. But it looks to me like prior to the necessity of building out brand new infrastructure, filling up the reservoirs that they currently have would be a good first step. So we can talk about whether or not they need additional infrastructure. And I think to reach some of these kind of mountainside, cliffside homes, right, which are away from the reservoirs, which are away from some of the infrastructure, the first step that needs to be taken is to use what they have now. And they're clearly not doing that. So much incompetence.
Yeah. Incompetence and just failure. It seems like a failure to think, Jim, you know? It just...
Yep.
Failure to feed conscious thought through the human system.
And in that area, it's a no-brainer, right? This should be the exercise. And, you know, the emergency management and emergency services organizations, both in L.A. County and L.A. City, they're under the same constraints that everyone else is to carry out exercises where there are realistic and kind of time-bound scenarios where we are thinking through, you know, what happens if a large fire occurs? What happens if, right, there is flooding? There is no reasonable expectation that there is any way that we can excuse what has occurred. It is not, I don't believe, right, that it is simply kind of an error or an omission or something they can overlook, when it is probably strategically the largest risk and threat that they face in that area.
Yeah.
I think it should be something they're talking about all the time.
One of the things I say to people in terms of defense is yo-yo and yo-yo, which is you're on your own and you own your own results. And if you live in the area that was just burnt, there were some people who stayed in place, fought the fire, and preserved not only their homes but the homes around them by going and having an emergency kit that was diesel powered or gasoline powered or propane powered, and having a competent pump and spreading water on not only their home but the homes around them and keeping them from burning down. And I think it behooves us, if we live in areas like that, to have a 5 or 10,000 gallon water tank. You don't have to worry about the condition of the water or algae in it. You just have to make sure your pump is competent enough and that you've got a spraying system that'll work with enough pressure to be able to do that. And I don't think that's unreasonable. Do you?
I don't think so. And while what has gone on with both this disaster and Appalachia and Milton in Florida, I think Americans are waking up to what you're saying, which is we are on our own, and I think it is a mistake to trust a government agency.
Amen.
It's going to serve you quickly and to serve you with competence. It's not to say there are not incredible firefighters and dispatchers right out there. It
right.
is to say, however, that when we gather government agents together, there is a lack of competence.
Yeah. But
being prepared in your home is a must. Americans have got to look at what has gone on and to understand there is a very good chance, depending on where you live, that you could be on your own for a period of time. And you should work with your neighbors, work with your community to make sure that there are some provisions for whatever it is, whatever risk you face.
I'm in the process of installing 5,000 gallons worth of water for that. Two tanks, two 2,500 gallons. And the reason I chose 2,500 gallon tanks is because that's the maximum number you can do without a permit, because I am certainly not going to ask government's permission to be prepared. All right, on to the phones.
Yeah.
Chris, you're live on Liberty Watch with Dr. Amy Lepore. Go ahead.
Thank you, Charles, and thank you, Doctor. I had a comment and a question. I recently called 911 for the first time 2 nights ago, as my dog and I were shot at crossing a wash at 5 a.m. If that was not shocking enough, the experience I had with the 911 operator was more shocking. I called. She took my location. She asked. I told her what happened. She said, "Are you where it happened?" I said, "No, I kept going." She said, "Well, you need to go back there." And I said, "I am not going back there. That I do not want to get shot." Her reply was, "It does not work like that."
Oh.
Instead of saying, "You need to get close. I understand you're upset." So my question for you is, do they do quality control with these people? Because she was not empathic in the least. And going by her statement, I was just should go back there to get shot.
Yeah, boy, their first order of business should absolutely be safety, right, of the caller. And that should be drilled into their minds. But in terms of your question about quality assurance, absolutely. Where I worked, there was a person assigned to quality assurance where they were able to listen to both kind of calls and then also to radio traffic, right, kind of out in the field to make sure that not only first responders were doing their job, but that dispatchers were properly serving the callers, going through the correct questions, giving them solid directions. So, yeah, that should go on in every organization. I'm so sorry you had that experience, but I am glad that you and your dog are safe.
Chris, I want to encourage you to elevate this both to your – was this in the county or the city?
It was on Stone Crossing right by Wetmore in the Mall, crossing the river.
So is that –
I was down in the Wash.
Is that county or city? I don't know where the city line is.
I'm not sure what
– Find out though. And either make it – elevate it to the city council level or the supervisory level and absolutely lodge a complaint with whoever is in charge of the 911 center. That should be easily apparent on the city's website. And I think you should make noise about it. I think you should continue to call it here. And if you want, I'll get the director of the 911 center on the carpet here if I can get them on the radio. You email me about the details of this and I'll pursue it with you. This is activist radio in peaceable and loving ways in order for positive change. This is what this program is for. All right, you have a good day.
Thank you, Charles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ain't nobody getting a free ride on Liberty Watch. Guest or government, nobody is spared a tough question. Based on the death of how George Floyd was spun up into a villainous narrative, how do we get people to want to be in public service?
That's an excellent question, Charles. And I think, you know, I'm an advocate of, I'm just lay out there, from an advocate of privatization where possible, privatization of security, of firefighting, of 911 centers, right? Because I don't trust government, I don't trust agents of the state. That said, in small towns where we have a police force, as an example, and we want them to, you know, we want young men especially to get in there to serve their community, I think that we make it attractive by giving them opportunities to serve and to serve properly, right? So maybe a little less focus on nonviolent crime and running radar, and a little more focus on enforcing laws regarding violent crime, right? A little more following up on those types of things. That is how a man serving his community can gain their respect, right? By making sure they are safe. And I think when we encourage cops, as an example, one public safety career, when we encourage them to have negative interactions with citizens, like, I don't know, enforcing a permit because someone didn't pay a fee, running radar, right? Just niggling little things that are not, they're nonviolent crimes. That is how we ratchet up and really gain a disdain for a profession that could otherwise be seen as heroic in our community. So I think one way is for jurisdictions to really think about what law do we want to enforce?
Right.
And really to start to lobby and petition the state to really be focused on violent crime. And that's how we keep our communities safe, when they're not distracted by other things.
Okay, down to the last 20 seconds. How do we get more information on what you do?
Absolutely. So I'm also the COO of Dissident Media, a new media startup. We'll launch in February with 3 new podcasts in Liberty Space, and you can find us at dissidentmedia.net.
Dissidentmedia.net. Will you do me a favor and please stay in touch? I'd like to talk more about Dissident Media on Liberty Watch, maybe get in at the top of the 11 o'clock hour and do some things that can get you more subscribers or at least more notice.
Yeah, we can talk anytime. Charles, I cannot thank you enough for having me on.
My pleasure. You are a joy and a delight because you actually answer the questions asked. You don't filibuster.
No,
you don't filibuster. And that's, well, that's one of the main problems in talk radio is people don't answer the question. So you're not that.
Yeah. Good.
All right. Amy, I appreciate you being with us. We got to go. It's time for station identification, and I got another guest calling in on this line.
Thank you, Charles.
You're welcome. God bless. And that clears the line and also sets us up for the station identification. AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice. Stay tuned for America Armed and Free. Turn up the pot, Charles.